there. But I didn't ask him here because he was a separatist. I asked him here because, you know, separation is something, it's not that we always harp on, but it's something, it's the basis on which we do our ministry, that we might be honorable to the Lord. I remember John Ashbrook saying years ago that when he was traveling out in eastern Pennsylvania, that trying to find a church where he could sit and just be fed the Word of God, and he found such a church when he visited Dr. Griffith's church, and he mentioned I could go there, and I knew I was going to hear from God's Word. And that's really the reason we've invited him to come. I mean, I wouldn't invite him if he wasn't a separatist, but he's a Bible teacher. He's one who loves God's Word. We have him coming here starting Sunday for a family Bible conference, Sunday through Wednesday, and we're looking forward to those meetings. We're just glad you can be here and minister to us in the Ohio Bible Fellowship. So it's good to have you, and it's good to have your wife, Patricia, here as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor, very much. It's a privilege to be with you, and certainly looking forward to our time at the church. For those of you who are part of this church family, we always enjoy our times here and trusting the Lord to give us some good days and no snow. We're pretty confident of that. We don't know what's going to happen with rain or wind or whatever, but we're grateful for the opportunity to be back. Pastor invited me to say a word about our table in the foyer area, so I'll do that and to mention some of the things that are there. There are some CDs there, one set dealing with parenting, one set dealing with marriage. One set called Till Death Do Us Part has to do with more of the mechanics of marriage. Be a great husband, be a great wife, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Another smaller set, Holy Ground, talking about the more of the doctrinal concepts of marriage, the institution of marriage, what God made it to be and why it should be permanent and so on. So you'll see both of those. And then a little series out there called the Basic Family Series, and it kind of combines some things on parenting and some things on marriage, kind of a, you know, combination type thing. So you'll see those out there. We have some books out there, a couple of by John Stormer. They've been around a long time under Call It Education and Growing Up God's Way. And we love to carry those because we appreciate Brother Stormer and what a great testimony he's had, and he says good things. So those books are out there. Then a few books that I've written, one called Victory Over Trial and Trouble. You don't need that book unless you've had trial or trouble, but if you've ever had difficulties, that book might be of help to you. It takes us into the Word of God, how to respond properly when trouble comes. What's the devil doing? What's God doing? What are you doing? And so on. So that book is there. Another book on parenting. Parenting, One Chance to Do It Right. You know, that's all you get. You only get one chance to do it right. And too many folks look back wishing they had done it differently, wishing they could do it again, but you can't. And so we try to emphasize what the Bible says about parenting. God gives us enough in this book that by His grace, we should see our kids grow up to love Him and serve Him. And so we address that in the book. And then a book on prayer before the throne of grace. There's a lot of things going on in prayer today that just aren't in harmony with the Word of God. We're taught clearly when we pray to pray to the Father, to pray in the name of His Son, and to rejoice in the intercessory ministry of the Holy Spirit. And those are simple but marvelous truths. And we try to explain why that's that way. Why did God teach us that? And then other things in prayer. And so that book is there as well. We put out a little paper called Friend of the Family. You can get it online or snail mail. There's a place for you to sign up out there for that. We'd love to send that your way. If you want it online, give us your email address, and we will notify you when you can get on our website and see the newest Friend of the Family. There's a little green card out there called Christianity Pure and Simple, and we invite folks to take those, no charge for them, but just take them and use them when you give a tip at a restaurant. Leave a Pure and Simple card, and that gives a website where they can get on and see a video presentation of the gospel. They might not listen to us for long, but maybe in the privacy of their own home, they'll sit down and get on that site and just hear the things of God. So that's out there. How am I doing? Another little booklet out there called The Christian Response to Culture Collapse. If you haven't noticed, our culture is collapsing. and we need to respond. So that's out there. Everything there on a donation basis. You'll see we give suggested figures as to what we, again, suggest you give, but you might see something you can't afford to give what we suggest. You give what you can give, do your best, and then feel free to just go ahead and use those things, and we would be glad for you to have them. If you have any questions, feel free to ask us, and we'll try to tell you a little more specifically what's in a book or what's covered on a CD or something like that. Okay, take your Bible, if you will. Open to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm going to catch up with you there in a moment. But I would read in John chapter 10 and verse 10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's God's desire for us. When you get saved, you receive the gift of life. You are born again. You are regenerated. You become a child of God. But the Lord Jesus said, not only have I come that you might have life, but that you might have it more abundantly. The term abundantly suggests that which is superior in quality. And that's the life that God wants us to have. It's wonderful to say, I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. But we're supposed to live as Christians a different level of life than the crowd who does not know the Lord. Our life, our family should be totally different than the world. And unfortunately, too often, it is not. I believe the salt has lost its savor. There's not much regard for Christianity in this country today, is there? Heard of one couple out in California, I think they got a cease and desist order for having a Bible study in their home. What happened? What's going on? How can that be? You can't pray anymore at athletic events. So I grew up praying at athletic events. Probably some of you did too. That was just common ground. That was common experience. Of course you were going to pray before the game and so on. And on it goes. The judiciary is running wild, as you know. And everything this country has stood for is being undermined and challenged and taken away from us. But I submit to you that at the root of the problem is us. Christianity. Christians. The church. We've not done the work that God has given us to do. The Lord Jesus said He would build His church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And I think you see a picture in that verse of us challenging the gates of hell, storming the gates of hell with the inability of the gates of hell to stop the work of God. And instead you hear people preach as if the gates of hell were marching toward us. You know, it's a defensive mode that we are in. It shouldn't be that way. And we need to get faithful and serving the Lord as we ought to serve. But a part of that is this testimony of your life and my life, your family and mine, this church and your church. We noticed in our earlier session that this life, this superior quality of life, is first of all based on a relationship, not religion. Many of us know exactly what it means to have been saved out of religion. Some of you grew up and you grew up in a Christian home and you came to know the Lord and so on. But some of us, many of us perhaps, were involved in religion, but we thank God we got saved out of it and brought into a relationship with the Lord. And we talked a little bit today about some of what's involved in that relationship. And I hope you can sense that in your own life. To understand that God the Father is your Father and that you're His child and that you personally experience His love for you every single day. You are the beloved of the Father. And we have the privilege of praying to Him, calling Him Father. We have the privilege of knowing Him, not simply on the basis of what the Scriptures say, but then on the basis of our own experience as we commune with Him and walk with Him and learn of His ways and experience those ways in our life. We have the privilege of forgiveness when we sin. We have the challenge of surrender to Him. We have the privilege of knowing that there's a purpose in our life, a reason why we're here. All of those things and other things we talked about today, I won't mention now, and other things we didn't even mention today that we could find that all bring together this wonderful relationship that we have with God. And this superior quality of life, this abundant life, is first of all based on that relationship. I like to think of it this way as we move into our second message. I like to think of it in terms of God saying to us, you are now my child, you've been born again, and you are in a relationship with me. And then us kind of looking back and say, well, I know you are my Father, and I'm indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and I can pray to you, and running through those things, and then saying, but I don't know how to live. I know I'm in a relationship, but I don't know what to do. And God responds and says, well, I'm going to give you a book, Revelation. And this new life and experience that you have with me is going to be governed by revelation, not reason. Now, you know, if you talk to a lot of people about that, they say, oh, I understand that. I understand the Bible is revelation. But you know what is happening today? There are too many people who are trying to reason their way out of the revelation. In other words, they say, well, I know what the Bible says. You know that person, don't you? I know what the Bible says, but here's why I think I can ignore the Bible in this particular instance. But you and I can't do that. Pastor recently told me of another pastor not too far from where he ministers who stood up one day and said this. He said, my wife has left me and she is not coming back. But I am not leaving this church. And if you don't like it, you can leave. This other pastor, with much trembling, felt the need to call him and talk to him because he had been mentored by him. And of course, when he talked to the pastor, you know what he said? Well, yeah, I used to believe what you're talking about. I don't believe that anymore. Why? Did the book change? I remember hearing a man years ago say this: you would think that our doctrine creates our morality. But he said, I want to tell you, many times a person's morality changes their doctrine. I used to believe that until something happened in my life. I don't believe that anymore. But you and I don't have that option. We are to live subject to the revelation. Tell them, hold up for me, whoever that is. Pray with me. Our loving Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be together tonight. We seek your blessing. We ask you to use your word to bring conviction to our hearts. Lord, where necessary, to conform us again to your word, to bring us to the place where we are submitted to the revelation that you've given us, rather than trying to reason our way out of it or around it. Well, thank you. We pray for your blessing, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to pick up in chapter 2 and verse 9 for a moment, but let me remind you of the verses and some of the things that are said leading up to that discussion. Remember over in verse 18 of chapter 1, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. What's the foolishness? Well, it's kind of like, that is not very intellectual to talk about a cross where somebody died and shed his blood for my sin. Are you kidding? But you know, to us who are saved, that which seems to be foolishness is in fact the power of God that has saved our souls and changed our lives. Verse 21, after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. What's that? Well, it is not unfair when you see that term referring to human wisdom to think in terms of reason. Human reasoning. Nobody ever reasoned their way to God. Verse 26, you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world. Again, my little rendering, the non-intellectual things. You know, one of the problems with Christianity today, we have gotten hold of this thing of intellectualism, and we want to be known as intellectual. And I believe that's part of the problem of some of the things that you have already addressed or will address in resolutions. You know, it's kind of like we're going to the world and There's things that are deep in your spirit that nobody knows. And there's some things you don't want anybody to know. But those things are deep inside of you, and nobody could ever figure those things out except that you would open up and reveal them. So just as no man can figure out the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him, verse 11 goes on, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. He knows those things. Verse 12, Paul takes us another step. He says, now, we, speaking much on behalf of himself and perhaps the other apostles, now we, he says, have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why, Paul? Why did you receive him? Here's why. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And so not only are these things of God revealed by the Spirit of God, but Paul says, and we have received the Spirit of God so that we might be able to know and understand those things that have freely been given to us by God. Now, why do I limit that to some degree to the apostles? Because of what he goes on to say in verse 13. For all of that we've seen thus far is revelation, and now he moves us to inspiration. When he says in verse 13, which things, the things of God, also we speak. Now, the term there for speak is not limited to oral language. It is communication. It can be oral. It can be written. It's the term laleo. Which things, he says, these things of God, we speak, we communicate, we make known. Look at the next little phrase. Not in the, what a great term, words. Words. When you and I talk about this book, and that's where he's taking us, we without apology say we believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of the Scriptures. This book is completely inspired even to the very words. That's a very powerful truth, isn't it? That's what Paul says. He says, these things we speak, we communicate, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, not in the words of human reasoning, but the words, if you will, the words which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Revelation, inspiration, words. Now, you know, that's a pretty powerful statement about this book. It's a pretty powerful statement about revelation. Revelation, God making known to us things that we could not know in any other way. Revelation. And then Paul and others having received the Spirit of God so they could receive these things of God, and having received them, now communicate these things in words directed by that same spirit. Now, you know, there is a lower view of this book today than there's ever been. Sometimes I think we live in a Christianity without the Bible. It is a Christianity of human reason. But Christianity is founded on a revelation, a book. verse 14. But the natural man, that's the unsaved man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Paul says, we received them and we communicated them in the words directed by the Holy Spirit, but the natural man, the unsaved man, he does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, discernment and understanding of them is given by the Spirit of God. You can never receive the Spirit of God from this book, can you? He gave the revelation. He guides the inspiration. He gives the understanding, the illumination. Verse 15. He that is spiritual judgeth. That term speaks of discernment and understanding. He that is spiritual, he, what's it mean to be spiritual? You are under the dominating power of the Spirit of God. He indwells you and you are submitted to him. You're not walking in the flesh. The Spirit of God has his way in your life. You are spiritual. He that is spiritual judgeth or discerns all things. What are the all things? Is it like, oh, well, I'm saved and spiritual. I can understand anything. I can understand rocket science. I can understand. No. Understand what? All things. Things of God. The book. Yet he himself is judged, understood, if you will, of no man. A lot of people can't understand the Christian life and the Christian walk. Verse 16, who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. It's an interesting statement. We have the mind of Christ. What's that mean? Well, I've been thinking about this a lot, and I think I have the mind of Christ on this. Well, you can think that if you want to, but you know what he's really talking about when he says we have the mind of Christ? Talking about the book. That's what it's been all about. We have the mind of Christ. You want to know what God thinks? You want to know what God has to say about something? We have the mind of Christ. It's in a book. Revelation. It's right here. You've got it. In other words, God has given us this book, and it's as if he looks down on us and says, I want to tell you something. If you have brought into this, you've been brought into this relationship, you can say, I've been born again, I am a child of God. He now comes back and says, okay, now I will tell you by my revelation. You don't have to go out on your own and figure it out. I will tell you by my revelation how to live. I'll tell you how to live morally. I'll tell you how to live in your family. I'll tell you how to live socially. I am not leaving you to yourself. I am not leaving you on your own. I have given you a book to make known to you my will and my way. Here it is. How dare you when I say, I know what the Bible says, but. Now, I want you to imagine with me for a moment that all Christians would accept the revelation of God and live by it. Just think about that. Because it is only when you and I seek to live by the revelation that we can ever be living a superior quality of life. That's what he's giving us in here. He's saying, I'm going to give you truth so that if you will accept it, your marriage can be far better than the marriage of anybody who doesn't know the Lord. because I designed marriage. I planned it. I know how it works. And I'll tell you how to live it. Will you live it? Will you say, okay, I want to find out what God says, because I want to be the best husband I can be. I want to find out what God says. When I find out what God says, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. It doesn't matter what my wife does. She might mess up, but by the grace of God, I'm going to live by the revelation. How many times marriages, and I don't want to go off on a family conference here tonight, but how many marriages are in trouble because moms and dads are living in reaction to each other instead of in obedience to the revelation? Sir, why do you treat her like that? Well, I wouldn't say what I said except for what she said. When she said that, I said that. Yeah, but what about the book? Here's Revelation. Not very popular revelation today, even in the church. But here's Revelation. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Now, folks, that's Revelation. That is God saying to his people, I want to tell you about this thing called marriage. It is intended to be a permanent earthly relationship. How many of God's people through the years, through your years of ministry, your years of life, how many people do you know who have reasoned their way out from under that clear statement of Revelation? Now, I've never met anybody who have directly said, well, you know, I'm not sure that that's really what God wants. I'm not sure that's really the heart of God. Now, if I haven't been able to find anything else, I think I found just about everybody who would at least admit, yay, that is the heart of God for marriage. At least that. I won't take the survey, but I wonder how many in this room have been affected by the broken home. I wonder how many of us grew up in a broken home. I did. Many of you did. How many of us have seen some of our closest loved ones go through the heartache of a broken home? And as you know, kids always pay the price. And how many of us have seen the heartache and the heartbreak of kids growing up in that setting? What if God's people, as a single example, what if God's people had said, we understand the revelation. We understand this message from God, and we will submit ourselves to the revelation. What would that have done to marriages and families for the last couple of hundred years in the United States of America? I wonder what that would have done. I wonder what change it would have brought. And I wonder how the world would look at God's people and say, man, that's different. Those people live for God, and they get it right, and their marriage is good. We talked earlier about Romans 12, 1 and 2. That's revelation. That's not just an invitation. That's not just, hey, you know, think about this, will you? No, that's a revelation from God through Paul telling us what God wants us to do. He says, you are supposed to present your body as a living sacrifice to God. And yet we take it or leave it. We are supposed to not be conformed to this world. We're supposed to be transformed. Can you imagine the Christianity that would be lived out in front of this world if God's people said, I will submit myself to this book? the revelation of God. We don't know any other way to live except this book. This is the message of God to his people. But the reason the church is in trouble, the reason we are like the salt that has lost its savor, and Christianity has been thrown out of this country and is now being trodden underfoot of men, the reason there is no regard for Christ and Christianity is because we who are his people have not lived the life he designed for us to live and the life he revealed for us as his will, given right here on the written page. How do we know what is right or wrong but this book? How do we know what is true or false, good or bad? How do we know but by this book? This nation right now, among other things, is in a battle over marriage, as you know. DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, passed by Congress, I think, when 1993, now being shoved aside. And we are near to a total opening of so-called marriage to any and all relationships. And I want to tell you something. Once we move away from one man and one woman, once we move away from that, we will move into an absolute disaster of men with men and women with women and bigamy and polygamy and group marriages and anything you can imagine. Why? Because what guided the domestic law of this country from the beginning was this. This book guided the domestic law of the United States of America. This is the book that established that marriage was of God, one man, one woman. Well, the world left this a long time ago. And believe me, our laws are just catching up with the heart rejection of this book. We haven't seen anything yet. But do we reject the two? Revelation. Only when we submit ourselves to God's book will we experience a superior quality of life, the life that God designed for his children. We need to come back. Let's pray. Our Father, we are grateful for your word. And we would have to confess that too often we who are your people have bypassed it, ignored it, twisted it to our own liking. We've reasoned our way out from under it for our own convenience. Move in our hearts tonight. Challenge us tonight for the sake of our own individual lives and our families, and the churches we represent, and for many here, the churches that are pastored. Help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.